The biggest tech companies, now too big to escape regulation?
I think you're going to see the first $10 billion plus fine against one of these companies in the next 6 to 12 months.
From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. The regulatory tide is turning against U.S. tech companies. Facebook, Google, Apple, Amazon all are facing increased scrutiny over their size and power. Facebook has the eyeballs of a quarter of the world's population. Half of all the money spent online goes to Amazon. Google's got 81% of the search market. Apple is the world's most valuable brand in terms of marketing and very often market cap. These companies are the subject of a very timely book coming out Tuesday. It's called The Four, and it's written by Scott Galloway, a professor at NYU. In this book, you essentially talk about how we, the public and the tech media, I'm sorry to say, the business world, look at these four companies practically as deities.
Yeah.
How did this come to be?
Well, they're impressive companies. We now all kind of worship at the altar of innovation versus kindness or character. And these are the most innovative organizations in the world. They've created tremendous shareholder value. And each day as consumers, we get a lot of reward from these companies.
And then you also argue that we may have been fooled a little bit in terms of their benevolence, that these companies also treat employees unfairly, evade taxes, sell our information. The way the business ecosystem is set up, do you think it is possible to grow into a major tech company without doing these things?
I think these are good people, or statistically, they're probably no less good or more good than any other group of people once you get beyond a certain number of people. Once these companies, they focus on this in a way they kind of, what I would say, create an illusionist trick. They wrap themselves in a very progressive blue, neon blue, pink, or rainbow blanket because, as a whole, progressives are perceived by the marketplace as nice but weak, whereas conservatives are seen as smart and mean. And if you're Microsoft and the leaders of that organization are seen as sort of smart but mean, regulators are more likely to step in. Whereas Facebook, I think, is able to skirt more hardcore, rigorous scrutiny because everyone wants to lean in. I mean, the message coming out of there is very aspirational. I think Tim Cook, first openly gay CEO of a Fortune 500 company, is impossible not to like.
Do you think that's going to last? Do you think that sort of the illusion of these companies having these personalities is starting to be pierced?
Just in the last few weeks, the worm has turned against big tech, specifically with the news coming out about Russian entities using Facebook as a platform, or kind of weaponizing Facebook, if you will. I think people are starting to regurgitate on the big four and starting to get angry. And I think for the first time, they're going to start playing offense against these companies instead of just worshiping them.
Do you think there really would be a regulatory push against them? I mean, certainly Europe has been onto these companies for a while, it would seem. But the U.S. doesn't really have a long history of that kind of crackdown.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. The data supports what you're saying. 20, 30 years ago, there were about, on average, 20 antitrust or ATC or FTC investigations filed against companies during mergers. Now that we average around 3. But to your point, it's going to happen, and it's likely going to come out of Europe in the form of a monster fine. I think you're going to see the first $10 billion plus fine against one of these companies in the next 6 to 12 months because the U.S. garners a lot of benefit from these companies. They're a source of national pride. They're great for our brand. The real estate in Palo Alto gets driven up. These schools can send their kids and justify the tuition we charge at NYU Stern, at Stanford, because these companies recruit a ton of our students. So the regulation, the big fines, I believe are going to come out of Europe first. But I also think there's a movement afoot here in the U.S., especially around this Russia stuff.
People generally use Google, they use Amazon, unless they consciously choose not to use them, not to be on Facebook. How much power is left for the American consumer to vote with these clicks and dollars?
Well, technically, you think the consumer does have a lot of power, and you could argue that Google is sort of one click away from going out of business, that if two kids in a dormitory at MIT do come up with a better search engine or search algorithm, that Google could fall pretty fast. But having said that, I think the only thing that stands in between these companies and their increased dominance at this point is probably government intervention and regulation, because they have kind of made the jump to light speed, where their size and their strength kind of creates more size and strength, access to more human and financial capital at a lower cost, and they just get stronger and stronger. And it's very hard to kind of breach the walls that they have built around their core businesses. So now, having said that, history shows that when people like me say these companies are unstoppable, is about the time they start to go into structural decline. So we'll see, but I personally don't see anything getting in the way of these companies other than maybe themselves or some sort of government intervention.
And then the back half of your book is a little bit of a, almost like a how-to guide to use these strategies in your life or your business. I mean, is there an argument that their tactics are still kind of the Platonic ideal of capitalist company building?
They're great at what they do. I think there's a lot we can learn, whether it's trying to figure out a product that ages in reverse, where the more you use it, the better it gets. Unlike when you buy a tube of toothpaste or buy a car, the moment it begins providing utility and you begin using it, it declines in value. So when you type a search query into Google, it gets better for the other 3 billion search queries that day. When you turn on Waze, it gets better because it begins GPS locating you, assuming you're a point in traffic, and updating the algorithm to help other people get to their destinations. There's a great deal we can all learn from these companies.
Do you use any or all of them?
Every day. Love them. I think They're outstanding companies, and I'm addicted to them, whether it's checking my Instagram feed or my iPhone is practically an appendage at this point. And whenever I need an answer that I trust more than anyone in the world, I go to the Google search query box.
It's a deal with the devil, man. That's Scott Galloway, author of The Four, which will be on shelves on Tuesday. Now, Twitter is not one of the four, but company representatives testified before a Senate Intelligence Committee yesterday. And afterwards, Twitter said it has shut down over 200 fake Russian accounts on its network that were posting thousands of political ads. And the company said the possibly Kremlin-linked news site RT bought almost $250,000 worth of political ads on Twitter. Executives from Facebook, Alphabet, which is the parent company of Google, and Twitter have all been asked to testify publicly before Congress in November. And also, as it happens, we asked a pretty timely question the other day. Would you ever consider quitting Facebook? Here are some of the responses we got. Yay, audio recordings. Here's Dave from Utah. He says he sort of faded out of Facebook last year and hasn't missed it, but that if he had to compare Twitter to Facebook...
I feel that... while Twitter can be toxic, I think Facebook is just a different type of rabbit hole and can be far more personal and in a lot of ways more damaging.
Tim Scahill is stuck between a rock and a Facebook place.
Well, I am a digital marketing strategist and a social media manager, so that's kind of impossible if I want to get paid.
To be fair, Tim also confessed that he is totally addicted. Danielle Porter says she's a proud former Facebook user. She writes, quote, "The lack of transparency regarding what Zuckerberg did with and the monetization of my information just creeped me out. I deleted my account in 2006 and I haven't looked back." Danielle says she misses the occasional baby announcement, but she feels more connected to the people in her life because she calls them and texts them personally. What a concept. And Andy in Bellingham says he never even got on Facebook and does not feel out of the loop, disconnected from friends, or out of touch with current events. In fact, he ends with, quote, "Do I have much fewer opportunities to get irrationally pissed off and or worry about getting trolled? Absolutely." Sounds like kind of a relaxing way to roll. Keep it coming on this or any other topic. We love your voice memos. We love your emails and your tweets. And we'll have a new question for you next week. Email us at mptech@marketplace.org or tweet me for as long as I'm there at Mollywood. The producer of Marketplace Tech is Stephanie Hughes, who likes being on Facebook, but also likes not having it as an app on her phone. Kristen Schwab is our intern. She is on Facebook and she would quit if all the other people quit too. Jake Gorski engineers our program and created our theme song. He says he wants to take Facebook off his phone, but he doesn't want to dump it completely because you still need it to check in with mom. I'm Molly Wood, and I took Facebook off my phone yesterday, and it feels amazing. That's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.